true follower shows fruit. John 15, 8 bring forth fruits proper for repentance. Matt 3, 8 when you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers. John 15, 8 either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Matt 12, 33 every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matt 7, 19 are you a true follower of Christ? It is not enough to just say you believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe enough to do what he commanded. His first and principal command throughout his ministry being, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the evidence of repentance is to bring forth fruit. Matt 3, 8 George Fox was often approached by people pleading that they were saved because they believed in Jesus. Fox's response to them was, where is the evidence of your belief? The evidence of a true believer is to produce much fruit. Jesus himself said, the evidence of belief of a true follower is to produce much fruit. John 15, 8 you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matt 7, 16-20 Paul explained the bad fruit, fruit of the flesh versus the good fruit, fruit of the Spirit. The bad fruits, the fruits of the flesh are sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, and the like. Which I say beforehand, as I have said before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All men do works of the flesh, because their hearts are defiled, until they have been crucified on the inward cross of self-denial, and in no way shall there enter into heaven anything that is defiled. Rev 21:27, the good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever, patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance, kindness, including morality and integrity, goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility, and self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Against these there is no law. After you have mortified and crucified your sinful nature on the inward cross of self-denial, you receive the fruit of the Spirit. Then you are no longer subject to the law, because then you are led by the Spirit. Rom 8, 14, Gal 3, 25, 5, 18. The law has dominion over a man until his death, Rom 7, 1, which death occurs when he has been crucified, Rom 7, 6, Gal 2, 20. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Matt 12, 33, from the word of the Lord within, a good tree is a holy tree. Be holy, for I am holy. 1 Pet 1, 15-16 Jesus said, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matt 7, 19, bring forth fruit proper for repentance. Matt 3, 8 to produce good fruit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, etc. You must free yourself from sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, etc. So, you must crucify your sinful nature to produce good fruit. In the Bible, Jesus tells us 5 times we must take up the cross daily and follow, obey him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 9, 23, 14, 27 Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5, 24 So, a true follower is one who has crucified their sinful nature and produced fruit. For the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, so that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Luke 3, 9 We are all trees with corrupt fruit to start, but we must be changed to produce good fruit. Today's Christianity would have you simply label the bad tree good, still producing corrupt fruit, but such trees will be cut down and sent to the fire, regardless of the label on them. From the word of the Lord within, do you agree with any who in their arrogance have stated that God excuses evil in believers? It's not fair, but they don't care. See myself, thus no sin has a place in me. Sin in believers is intolerable. Those who are immoral have no inheritance in God's kingdom. For of this you can be sure, that no sexually immoral, or impure, or covetous person, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. F5:5-6 If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 9:23-14, 27 So, a true disciple is one who has crucified their sinful nature and produced fruit. A disciple is one who follows the Master. To follow is to obey the Master. The sinful nature and the fruit of the flesh includes sexual immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, profanity, adultery, lack of restraint, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousies, rage, selfish ambition, divisiveness, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, partying, evil thoughts, fornications, wickedness, deceit, blasphemy, pride, anger, boasting, flattery, immodesty, immorality, and foolishness. Any of these disqualify any man from heaven. A man innocent of all the above fruits of the flesh is in full compliance with the rigid requirements of salvation stated in the Scriptures. Be perfect as the Father is perfect, Matt 5:48. Be righteous as he is righteous, 1 John 3:7-10. Be merciful as he is merciful, Luke 6:36. Become pure as he is pure, 1 John 3:3. As he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct, 1 Pet 1:15. Walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6. As he is, so are we in this present world, 1 John 4:17. There is no flexibility and no equivocation in any of these stated requirements. Paul tells us that to live we must kill the deeds of the body through the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Rom 8:13 Therefore mortify put to death the deeds of the body that are of the earthly life. Fornication, impurity, inordinate affections, evil lusts of the flesh, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Col 3:5 Strip yourselves of your former nature that controlled your conduct, which corrupts itself through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. F4:22 Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5:24 The only way to rid yourself of the fruit of the flesh, bad fruit, and produce the fruit of the Spirit, good fruit, is the way of the cross. The only way to the kingdom of heaven is the way of the cross. The only way to salvation is the way of the cross. The only way to avoid being banned from heaven, if you die still sinning, is the way of the cross. Even Adolf Hitler said Jesus was his Lord and Savior. But he had no fruit. He was not a true follower. The Roman Catholic priests that killed 9 million people for witchcraft in the Middle Ages said they were believers. They were baptized, prayed every day, took communion, and read the scriptures frequently. They were very holy murderers because they had no fruit, only big thorns. They were not true followers. If we are not seeking to produce fruit, our belief and faith is dead. As James said, faith without works is dead. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. If you are a slave to sin, sin is your master, and Jesus can't be your Lord because you cannot serve two masters. The principal work of a believer is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is within you and around you, as evidenced by fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, goodness, etc. It is never too late to start producing the fruit of righteousness, making Jesus your true Lord and Master. Jesus said, "The word of God, the words you hear Jesus speak to you, not the Bible, is the seed. And that seed, which fell among thorns, are those who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, the living word, Christ, speaking to you, not the Bible, keep it in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with perseverance." Luke 8:14-15. People had heard him speak to them, but were distracted from persevering in further listening by the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, therefore not producing fruit to righteousness. But some did bring forth fruit to perfection with perseverance. The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and confident trust forever. Isaiah 32:17. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he my Father takes away, and every branch that produces fruit, he my Father purges it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. John 15:1-3. God scourges and disciplines us before we become sons. Heb 12:5-8. Jesus said, because narrow is the gate and compressed is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Matt 7:14-16. If your teacher and preacher doesn't have this love, gentleness, self-control, kindness, peace, faith, goodness, and joy, you are being misled into the ditch and into captivity by a false prophet. This same test can be applied to false Christians. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Matthew 7:17-18. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed Christ remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. 1 John 3:9. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matt 7:19. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Matt 7:20. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light, the Spirit, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proves what is acceptable to the Lord. F5:8-10. Jesus said, when you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers. John 15:8. So how do we produce fruit? Bring forth fruits proper for repentance. Matt 3:7-9. And Jesus said, abide, dwell, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:4. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he produces much fruit. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, for without me you can do nothing. John 15:5. If a man does not abide in me, he is thrown out like a branch, which withers. These branches are gathered up, cast into the fire, and are burned. John 15:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him or known him. 1 John 3:6. To abide in him is to live in him, to be in union with him. You cannot be still sinning and know God or see God. Works without our loving obedience to God's commands count for nothing. 1 Cor 13:3. To produce fruit is to have obeyed many of God's commands to you. Faith must be evidenced by obedient works of love for God, which is obedience to the promptings of the Spirit of God's direction. Such is the love of God. The first works of love for God are A. To wait in humble silence as you listen and watch for his commands, and B. Then to obey his spoken commands that you hear to repent from the sins he reveals in your heart. Notice, Paul agrees with James, who wrote, faith without works is dead, James 2:20-24. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. John 3:21. Such works are the only works that survive passing through the fire, which every man must go through. Studying the Bible only tells us what we must achieve and avoid. To know the truth, you have to be taught by Jesus himself, personally, about himself. His living words must abide in you. To abide in Christ is to live in him and his light, in his presence, in his living word, not read the Bible. To abide in him is to live in him, to be in union with him. We go to him and sit as we wait on him in humble silence. And then we listen for him to speak to us and watch for what he shows us. When the light appears, we spend time in the light. His living word penetrates us, separating spirit from soul, and the light cleanses us by the blood of Jesus. As we repent, we are changed and receive more of his Spirit. As we receive more of his Spirit, he abides or remains in us too. We become the possessors of Christ, not just professors. It is a cross to a man's will to sit in humble silence to wait on God, listening and watching, while struggling to keep his mind from wandering. It is a cross to a man's will to obey what he is commanded and taught by the Holy Spirit. This is the cross of which you must deny yourself and pick it up every day to then follow Jesus. To obey his voice is to follow Jesus. This is how to do what you have prayed for 1,000 times, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You cannot be his disciple unless you pick up your cross daily and follow his orders. Salvation is only received by those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, who obey completely the voice of the Lord, in whatever he commands. Do not be discouraged if you don't hear for some time. Even your waiting is to your credit. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, in proportion to our waiting and hoping on you. Psalms 33:22, we start by waiting on God daily for 1 hour each day, preferably in the early morning before you begin your day. As we receive his words and revelations, our hunger for more of his revelations increases, motivating us to spend more and more time every day waiting on him. Until finally, we are waiting on him continually, even while going through our normal day's activities. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Lamb 3:25 note, to wait for him is to seek him. Reading the Bible and sex services are not seeking God. Therefore, return to your God, keep mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. Hosea 12:6, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait on you all the day long. PSA 25:5, for more understanding on the necessity of learning in silence, see George Fox's outstanding writing on why silence. Also on the sidebar, how do we repent? To start, John the Baptist said, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct. Matt 3:2, bring forth fruits proper for repentance. Matt 3:8, he who has two coats, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Give to the poor, share from your excess with those who are without the necessities of life. Do not collect any more than you are required to. Be honest in all your dealings, don't take money from anyone by force, nor accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Don't oppress people or accuse anyone falsely, don't lie, don't want more, don't complain. Luke 3:10-14, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matt 4:17, click here to see all the New Testament references to repentance. How do we know from what else to repent? Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11-12, to access the purifying power of grace, one must wait on God, listen, watch, and obey what you hear. By grace through inward faith, the Spirit charges us to deny ungodliness and lusts, teaching us how to live righteously and godly in this world. As we obey, grace then removes the sins from our heart. Salvation is brought to those who heed and obey him as they persistently and patiently wait on him. Heb 5:9-28, listen to and obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk completely in the ways that I command you. Jer 7:23, to hear the voice of the Lord, we must patiently and persistently listen in humble silence, then we must obey what he commands completely. To obey is to follow the Lord, which all must do in order to be a true disciple. From the word of the Lord within, follow precisely, do not deviate. It is not enough to obey a command partially, or some of the commands, or all of the commands part of the time. We must obey completely what we are told to do at all times. How do we access the grace of God to teach us what to deny? Jesus says, whoever comes to me and listens to my spoken words, not the Bible, his living voice, and does practices, obeys them, is like a man who built a house securely on a rock. Luke 6:47-8, as many as I love, I chastise, reprove, discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Rev 3:19. So we go to him by being silent and listening, not reading, not talking, not praying, just quietly listening and thinking his name, which gives us access to the power of God. And when he tells us to do something like repent, we do it and obey. We keep quiet to hear him because he said, pray, but do not babble repetitiously as the heathen do, thinking that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need, even before you ask him. Matt 6:7-8, the words we hear are words of eternal life, not the words we read or hear read from of the Bible. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. John 6:63, take heed therefore how you hear. For whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Luke 8:18, remember therefore what you have you received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Rev 3:2-3, Jesus came so he could destroy the devil and his work sin in us, if we let him. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the work sin of the devil. 1 John 3, ate a prominent early Quaker, William Penn, founder of the Pennsylvania, in his introduction to George Fox's journal states, "Repentance from dead works to serve the living God consists of three operations. One, to be shown the sin within you, your habit, your error, or your desire to sin. Two, to realize it and to have a godly sorrow for it. And three, a change for the future, repentance." Repentance is the natural result of people turning to the inward light and word. "For by the light comes sight of the sin, with the sight of the sin, you realize your error and wrongness with a sorrow for it. And with realization and sorrow about the sin revealed by the light, results in you changing your conduct in life from that time onward, repentance. Such repentance leads to justification, that is, forgiveness of past sins through Christ, the soul propitiation, and the sanctification or cleansing of the soul from the defiling nature and habits of sin. This justification is complete by 1. Comprehending both justification from the guilt of the sins that are past, as if they had never been committed, through the love and mercy of God in Christ Jesus. And 2. And the person being made inwardly, just through the cleansing and sanctifying power and Spirit of Christ revealed in the soul, which is commonly called sanctification. This leads to the prize of the high calling to all true Christians: perfection from sin, according to the scriptures of truth, which testifies perfection to be the end of Christ's coming and the nature of his kingdom, and for which his Spirit was and is given. But this is a not perfection in wisdom and glory in this life, or from natural infirmities or death, as some have with a weak or ill mind imagined and insinuated. This is a redeemed state, regeneration, or the new birth, and unless this work is known, there is no inheriting the kingdom of God. A permanent, everlasting perfection that protects you from ever sinning again. See how to benefit from the changing power of God for more information. Here are all the verses in the New Testament that refer to producing fruit to righteousness and holiness. "When you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers." John 15, 8. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility, and self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires." Gal 5:22-23, "Bring forth fruits proper for repentance." Matt 3:7-9, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he produces much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." John 15:4-6. "Abide, spend time waiting on him, sitting in the light, and you will produce much fruit. Without his leading and direction, anything we do counts for nothing. And already the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." Matt 3:9-11. "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Matt 7:15-21, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit." Matt 12:33. "When he saw a fig tree on the way, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you from this time forward,' and the fig tree soon withered away." Matt 21:18-20. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word spoken by the Spirit about the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. And he who received the seed into stony places, the same is he who hears the word spoken by the Spirit and quickly with joy receives it. Yet has he no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution rises because of the word, he is eventually offended. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed into the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who bears fruit, some yielding 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Matt 13:18-23, but remember, without me you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the farmers so that they might receive the fruits of it. Matt 21:33-35, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a people who will bring forth the fruits of it. Matt 21:42-44. He is talking to the Jews who would not produce fruit because they thought they were already righteous. But this applies to us too. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now all discipline trials seems painful for the present, not joyful, but later recompenses the peaceable fruit of peace and righteousness to those tried by it. Heb 12:11. Seeing a fig tree in the distance in leaf, he came to see if perhaps he might find any fruit on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the time of figs yet. Mark 11:12-14. The fig tree is the symbol of Israel. Then Jesus said to it, let no man eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Mark 11:13-14. And when the season came, he sent a servant to the vine dresser so that he might receive some of the fruit from the vineyard. Mark 12:1-3. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees, so that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Luke 3:8-9. For a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do men gather grapes from a bramble bush. Luke 6:43-44. Then he told this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, behold, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should it cumber use up the ground? If it bears fruit, fine, but if not, then after that cut it down. Luke 13:6-10. Jesus is talking about his three-year ministry in Israel, where none except his disciples were producing fruit, but it can apply to us too. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit he takes away, and every branch that produces fruit, he purges it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. John 15:1-3. Abide, dwell, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:3-5. You remain in him by sitting quietly in the light. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you, that you should go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 15:15-16. Therefore, my brothers, you also became dead to the law through the living body of Christ in you, so that you could be married to another and raised from the dead to bear fruit to God. Rom 7:4. Paul is addressing believers that had been crucified, and therefore they had died to the law, who had been raised from the dead with Christ, the new creature in newness of life. Christ had appeared in them and dwelled in them. They had received the fruit of the Spirit from Christ with the measure of faith that frees from the law, enabling them to no longer walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit, as it guided all their words and deeds. They had reached the first stage of perfection. The translation of this verse has been typically twisted to mean that Christ's death and resurrection made a believer dead to the law. But we are only dead to the law through the law after we have been crucified, and he is dwelling in us, totally guiding us, with his prompting of every word to speak and every deed to be done. While Christ's blood sacrifice made the Mosaic law obsolete, the inner law on every man's heart is still alive, never canceled. Which inner law includes the moral core of the Mosaic law. And for you to be free from this inner law, by which all men shall be judged, you must submit to God condemning the sins in your flesh, with commands that you hear when waiting on him. Those commands are established as additional laws in your heart, in which are all the laws you must obey and continue to obey until you are completely crucified, to then walk in love and liberty under no laws. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin, evil established by the law, worked in our members to bring forth fruit to death. Rom 7:5. We are all trees with corrupt fruit. sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, etc., to start. But we must be changed while alive on earth to produce good fruit. Christendom would have you simply label the bad tree good, still producing corrupt fruit, but such trees will be cut down and sent to the fire, regardless of the label on them. The law does not cause one to sin. The law adjusts, regulates, and curbs sin. From the word of the Lord within, either make the tree good or make the tree bad. A tree that is holy is a good one. For the fruit of the light, the Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. F5:8-10 being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Phi 1:10-11 This gospel brings forth fruit in all the world, just as it has done in you since the day that you first heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. Col 1:5-6 We have not stopped praying for you, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing in all things, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Col 1:9-11 Therefore by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Heb 13:14-15 But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, fair, gentle, and easily accepted, full of mercy and good fruits, immediately understood and sincere. From the word of the Lord within, the Lord is gentle and kind to those whom he corrects, and even more than usual to those in suffering circumstances. For what cause have I against the elect? He is nothing but love and kindness. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James 3:17-18 See how to benefit from the changing power of God for more information. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.